I don't think the choice I made, or rather the choice that Laura made to have me wear this morning, is that much of a choice. This is the shirt that she got for me, and she decided purple was the color of the day. I put it on. I don't think that choice matters much, but other choices do. Other choices we make end up having an enormous impact on ourselves. They end up having an enormous impact on those around us. It's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a choice. If you're following along, if you're following along, we're going to spend some time in the book of Ruth this morning in your Old Testament. If you want to head on over there, you can. Of course, I'm going to have fun with my clicker. My clicker disappeared. We have some hardware up here that I found it. I'll have the scriptures up on the board like I normally do, but we'll be, like I said, most of our time will be spent in the book of Ruth this morning. We're not going to read through every bit of the text, but I do want to go through and describe, tell the story of what's going on here. During the time of the judges, there was a famine in Judah, and there was a man by the name of Elimelech. He's from Bethlehem. He took his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, and they went to Moab to stay for a while. While there, Elimelech died, leaving Naomi a widow with two sons. Now, these two sons, of course, married women from Moab named Orpah and Ruth. But in just a matter of years, those two sons died as well, leaving her on her own with the exception of those two daughters-in-law. Well, Naomi heard that the famine in Judah was over, and she decided to go back home to Bethlehem. She was getting ready to make her journey home, and she told Orpah and Ruth that, well, they could just kind of go back to their homes. She didn't have much for them. This is one of the passages I want to read. This is in Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.'" Easy said, easy done. Orpah and Ruth, well, they kind of put up a little argument to that. They refused to leave Naomi. Naomi told them, "There's nothing for you where I'm going. There's just nothing for you there." She told them they had no future with her. She had no more sons to give, and even if by some miracle she were to have other sons, they wouldn't want to wait around until they would be old enough to marry. She even went so far as to say that they probably needed to stay away from her since it appeared that God was against her. Not quite in the best of moods. At this point, Orpah gave up. Okay, fine. She left and went home. But Ruth refused to leave. Ruth told her mother-in-law that she would not leave her. She would live where Naomi lived. She would die where Naomi died. The God of Israel would be her God, and nothing but death would keep her away. By this time, Naomi's figured out it's a losing battle. She said her piece, but it's not going to be enough. So she gives up. And her and Ruth went to Bethlehem. And this return to Bethlehem caused a little bit of a stir. You know, when you think about it, Naomi had been married with two children when they left quite a while ago, and then now she shows back up, and it's just her and this foreigner they've never met. They asked, even asked, "Naomi, is it you?" And in the context of her unhappy responses, we see another one in verse 20 of Ruth 1. She says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." She's not a happy lady right now. Hadn't been for a little bit. But she's back in Bethlehem. During the barley harvest, Ruth decides to go to work to help provide for her mother-in-law. She went to a field and gathered the grain that was left behind by the reapers. Now, this field which she worked belonged to a relative of Elimelech's by the name of Boaz. We've heard of Boaz before. Boaz came to the field. He asked about Ruth. He wanted to know about her, wanted to know where she came from, everything like that. One of his workers filled him in. She said that she was Naomi's Moabite daughter-in-law. She'd been working all day to help provide for her. Boaz gave her the instruction to stay with his group and in his field. Single woman, foreigner in a strange land, probably not the safest place for her to be, but Boaz had told his workers to make sure she was okay. She asked him, she says, "Why are you being so nice to me, a foreigner?" We're now in Ruth 2, this is verse 11. Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So he gives her some food to eat. Gives her a little more to take back to Naomi. Even told his workers to leave behind a little extra so she'd have more to gather. She continues working there, working through the barley harvest all the way to the wheat harvest. Naomi had told Ruth that Boaz was a relative and as such was a redeemer, according to this law that man died and left a widow without children. One of his close relatives would marry the widow, raise the children with her, so the family name would continue. So Naomi sends Ruth to the threshing floor where Boaz would be, told her to go through this series of steps just to kind of see what would happen. She did what she was told. She went to the threshing floor, uncovered Boaz's feet. And when he woke up, he was a little surprised to see her there. She identified herself. He told her there was another relative that was closer that would be, well, first in line to redeem her under this law. But if this other relative did not, Boaz would do it. He goes to the gate. And when this unnamed redeemer came by, Boaz stopped him, told the other guy that Naomi was selling the land that had belonged to Elimelech, asked if he would buy it. The guy said, okay. Boaz mentioned Ruth was part of the deal, and the guy said, no deal. Had some concerns with it. So Boaz bought the land and redeemed Ruth. He married Ruth. They had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, who we're quite familiar with from our Bibles. This whole story, that's the Cliff Notes version of the story, but it's a great story. You look at the beginning of it and you find famine. You find death. You find poverty. You find hopelessness. You find suffering. But that's not where it ends. By the time we get to the end of it, we find life. We find blessings. We find hope. We find joy. And we find a future. We find all these good things. What did that hinge on in the middle? What part happened in the middle that got us from all this mess to all this gloriousness? We see a choice. We see a choice made by a young Moabite widow, a choice of love and a choice of devotion. This is back in Ruth 1. I'll be there at verse 16. It says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her." We can learn a lot from this narrative about love. The first thing we can learn is that sometimes choices are made in the middle of unpleasant situations. Orpah left, didn't she? She tried. She didn't stick around. I'm not throwing her under the bus. I think Orpah loved Naomi. When Naomi first tells her daughters-in-law to go home, this is in verses 9 or 10, I don't have it on the board, but it says that they wept aloud, meaning both of them, and said, "No, we will return with you and your people." Again, both of them. They both tried to go back at first, but Naomi explained she had nothing to give, there was nothing for them with her, and even said that God was against her. That was the point that Orpah checked out. "Well, I tried." But Ruth chose to stay. Through all of that, Ruth made a choice to stay with her. And that's something that we have to do, don't we? You know, when things are going well, it's easy to say, "I love you." When you're out on a date and Harry's not banging on the table demanding for something, and there's nice food in front of you, there's a nice little atmosphere, it's easy to say, "I love you." It's easy for us to love someone when things are going well, when we're being treated the way we want to be treated, when everything is sunshines and butterflies and rainbows. But it's not always that way. Rainbow usually means there's been a storm, doesn't it? Or there's going to be. When things aren't so pleasant, it takes a disciplined choice on our part to love someone. When we've been rejected, when we've been hurt, when we've been dismissed, ridiculed, even pushed away, we still have a choice that we have to make. We can turn away from that person, or we can do like Ruth and we can say, basically, "I don't care what's happened. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be here whether you want me to or not. Love can also define who we are. This is a little bigger passage out of Ruth 2, beginning there in verse 8. It says, "So Boaz said to Ruth," this is back in their first encounter, said, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." Part I'm looking at is right there about verse 11. Ruth just wanted to know, why are you being so nice to me? Why are you treating me so well? And Boaz's answer is short, in short, is because he heard about what she did for Naomi. He heard about the love she had for her and the choice that she made. That's what we should be known for. Think about how wonderful it would be when someone asks you to go to church. You tell them that you go here. And they say, "I've heard of that place. I've heard great things. I've heard about the great people there." You know, that's a good thing, right? I mean, it would be great if every single person we met could tell us right away that we belong to Christ because of the love we have for others. And really, that's the way it's supposed to be. In John 13 and verse 34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Just from the sheer fact that it's repeated several times in there, it must mean it's awful important, I think. I think that God's kingdom will surely grow. We will surely let our light shine and have more people come to Jesus if we can show love like we've been commanded to, and if they can see it. But to do that, we have to make a choice to do so, don't we? We have to make a determined effort to love as we're supposed to. Love is what leads others to Jesus. If you take a look at the life of Naomi, she left Bethlehem with her husband and two sons. Her name comes from a Hebrew word meaning pleasant, but in almost no time at all, she becomes a lonely widow in a foreign land. From what she says in a couple of places, it pretty much seems like her faith is pretty much gone. This is in verse 11 in Ruth 1. It says, "But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me.' At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.'" We see this again. We looked at verse 20 already, but I want to read it again. It says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Like I said, she is just a regular ray of sunshine at this point. But she doesn't stay that way. In chapter 2, after Ruth tells her about her meeting with Boaz, she is certainly singing a different tune. Maybe. There we go. In verse 20 in chapter 2, it says, "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." If we fast forward to chapter 4 of Ruth, there in verse 14, Naomi is blessed with Obed. It says, "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. What made the difference? What made the difference along this path? It's that choice. It's that love that Ruth had for Naomi, that willingness to put everything aside and to be with her. I'm sure if you can think about it, you know of people who've been active in the church but may have drifted away, may not be anymore. Faithful at one time, but not now. We have to keep caring for these folks. We have to keep loving these folks. We have to continue to show them the love that Jesus has shown us and continually hope that they'll return to Him one day. Maybe they've had obstacles, difficulties, suffering, something that has gotten in their life and interfered with their walk with God. We just can't give up on them. We've got to be like Ruth, and we've got to stick with them. This is the same love that I'm talking about that bears our witness to those who don't know Jesus. We see Jesus praying for this in John chapter 17. This is beginning in verse 20. It says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus is telling us the world will know Him. The world will know who He is when we are one. And without love, I just don't see us having that unity like He wants us to have. Unless we love one another with a strong love, a fierce love, a relentless love, just like the love that Ruth had for Naomi. It means we have to forgive people. It means we have to encourage people, lift them up, correct them, and serve them. The book of Ruth has a beautiful narrative of the power of love, the power of commitment. In the first verse of this book, the author tells us it took place in the days when the judges ruled. The book of Judges, of course, tells us about the recurring pattern of the Israelites. They'd follow and obey God for a while, and then what would happen? They'd kind of get off the beaten path a little bit over here, and God would allow their enemies to rule over them, and of course, they'd be oppressed. They'd call out to Him. God would save them, and then what would happen? It kind of happened again, didn't it? It was kind of a process. Judges chapter 2 talks about this pattern. It says there in verse 19 that the people refused to give up their stubborn ways, but God still loved His people. God still loves His people today. Doesn't matter how stubborn we are or how stubborn we can be. God loves us and He is here for us. He still calls to us. He still saves. He still does miraculous things through His people who will give themselves to Him completely. If you're here this morning and you've never made the choice to become a child of God, He's calling today. He's got that love for you today. He's never willing to give up. It doesn't matter what you've said, what you've thought. He still wants to stick with you. He wants you to make the choice to become His child. His relentless love for you is still here this morning. He's given another opportunity today to come forward and become His. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the middle of some circumstances that have got you a little off the beaten path. Maybe something's challenging in your life. Maybe you're in need of prayer. Maybe you're in need of help. He's still here for you this morning. He'll forever be with you on every morning. Whatever need you have this morning, we're ready to assist. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?